Are you all well? Great. So I've got to look like, because there's a few less people this morning. And I won't ask you to move to the front and get closer then, because I also need steps. And so I'll be walking around and counting up those steps. All right, so I really hope you guys will be encouraged this morning. This morning, when Roland started with a prayer and he spoke about people that need to keep their guards up. And I was like, yes, Lord. It's like, yes, all right, that's confirmation. And I like what happened in the prayer meeting, the points that we prayed for. And so I really trust this morning that you'll be encouraged. I just want to say to you, I'm going to use a scripture this morning. And when I use the word man, I'm talking about every man, every woman, and every young person here this morning. So when I say man, everybody is included. Whether you're a man or a woman or a, what do we call the children? A chill man. The children are like chill. They like to chill, except my children, not chill men. All right, but it's everybody included. And I want you to take this message and take it to heart. The prayer was for all of us to leave here changed, because that is what the Word of God does. So the scripture that I'm going to use, I want to take the license to use this piece of scripture to bring to you guys what God has encouraged me with for a while. And I said to you, Andre, he's not here this morning, I said, when I get the opportunity to bring a message again, I would like to talk about this. I would like to bring a message around this, because it will be beneficial for all of us. Going into this time of the year, we right at the end of the year, and we've heard this morning in the prayer meeting that for a lot of people, it's a difficult time of the year. And a lot of people start to drift away in this time. But we don't want people to drift away. We want people to stay strong, to stay encouraged, and to start the year on the right foot with a strong relationship with God. And so I hope you guys will be encouraged today. So I want to speak today around the topic of your most important priority. Your most important priority. So some of you are sitting here and thinking, okay, it can be X, it can be Z, it can be Y. I want to use this scripture that they're going to put up now from 1 Kings 20 verses 39 and 40. I'm praying, and I have prayed that God will speak to us this morning through this. It says, now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver. While your servant was busy here and there, notice that, busy, here and there, he was gone. The king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. So the most important responsibility I feel for every person is contained in these verses. And who's seen the movie Braveheart? Come on, I know there's some elderly folk here. You can take the scripture down. Thank you. Who's seen Braveheart? Can you imagine to be in the middle of a battle like that? Imagine that. There's chaos all around you. There's chariots and there's swords that's bashing and clanging and horses and the noises of men yelling and screaming. And I can't imagine to be in a battle like that. It'd have to be hard to imagine anything like that. And very interesting, right in the middle of this battle, the king comes up and he says, I've captured a man. And he says to the soldier, your responsibility in the midst of this chaos is to guard this man. There's many things happening around you. Your most important responsibility is guard this man. Now, the King James Version says keep. Now, to keep or to guard actually means to hedge in with thorns. To hedge in. Hedge this guy in. That I've given you the responsibility to guard. Hedge him in. And make sure he doesn't escape. And to add to the seriousness of this command that he's given him, he said to him, think about it, it's in the middle of a battle, and he's saying to him, if you lose this man, you lose yourself. So you're in this battle, in this war, lots of things going on around you, and he says, guard this man. And if you lose him, it will be your life. For his life. And he says, I'm pulling you like kind of away from the battlefield. Try to forget about the noise and all the chariots and the horses and the swords, and your priority is to take care of this man. Don't let him escape. Can you imagine that? I mean, just to be in a circumstances like that. Guard this person as if your life depends on it. And then later on, when the dust have settled and the war, that battle is over and things have calmed down, the king came back. And friends, our King Jesus is going to come back one day. He's going to come back. And he said to this man, God, this man, guard this person. I've given you the responsibility, this main responsibility. And in this particular case, the Bible said that the man have escaped. And so I can imagine the king asking the soldier, what happened to the man? Why did this man escape? The one thing that I gave you a responsibility for, the one person. What happened? What happened? Were you distracted? Were you seduced by a woman? No, king. Did you forget about the responsibility that I gave you? No, king. And his answer was classic. He said, I just got busy here and there. I just got busy here and there. And the king said, so shall your judgment be. You have lost the man, therefore you will lose yourself. It is going to cost you your life if you don't watch this man. If you don't watch this woman. We prayed about it this morning in this December time to guard ourselves. And what was interesting to know is that the soldier wanted the king to know that he didn't lose this man because he was lazy. It wasn't lazy. I was just busy. I was busy. Got distracted. I forgot about guarding the man. Engaged in a lot of things that was going on around him. And I can even imagine maybe this man saying to him, but he promised me he won't escape. He will stay there and I can carry on with things around me. And then I got busy and I started drifting away and I've just got busy here and there. And then I remembered again, oh, but my responsibility is to, my main responsibility is to guard this man. But then I like carry on with the things around me and I get distracted again, little bit here, little bit there. And as soon as you know it, the man escaped. And it probably wasn't a quick thing that happened. It's probably a thing that happened over a period of time. And all of us are busy people. All of us, we've got responsibilities. We're busy. We've got a house to pay. We've got a car to pay. We've got a family to feed. We've got responsibilities. my wife wants my attention, my kids want my attention, and there's things that's going on around us, and we're busy. But the king wanted this soldier to guard this man. And so, friends, our king is coming back. Our king is Jesus. And he's saying to every person here, your biggest responsibility in the midst of everything that is happening around you. It's been a tough year. If I ask you to raise your hand and ask if it's a tough year, I'll see many hands go up here. It's been a tough year. I raised my hand. But in this year, I had to guard myself. And you know what was amazing? I had people around me to help me. God has placed us as a family in a church, and there's people around us that love Jesus, that helped us. But amidst all of that, I had to guard myself. I had to keep this person. And Jesus is saying to you, you've got to keep yourself, keep you. You have to guard your heart with diligence. Keep this person in December from the lust of the eyes, from the lust of the flesh, and from the pride of life. You see, we have to put boundaries around ourselves. We have to put hedges around ourselves because sometimes we can get carried away. You can't trust yourself. You won't believe what you will do if you let yourself, allow yourself to be carried away. That person that you're guarding, he will tell you, no, I won't do that. Famous last words. I won't do that. But if you allow him to drift away, I think each one of us are crazy people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're crazy. You're crazy. Yeah, you're crazy. You will do things if you drift away. You'll do silly things if you allow yourself to be busy here and there. Your flesh cannot be trusted. Paul said, there is no good thing in my flesh. No good thing in my flesh. So here's the thing. The soldier wasn't a bad person. He was just a busy person. He was trying to accomplish things in his life. And trying to maintain a lifestyle for his wife and his children. And just like most people here, he's got many things to do. He's constantly busy. Why weren't you in church 3 weeks ago? Oh, I had to mow the lawn. Oh, okay. And what about 2 weeks ago? No, I had to go and buy groceries and you know this and that. Okay, all right. What about this Sunday? Oh, no, this Sunday I've got this to do and I've got that to do. You see, we're not a bad person. We are just busy people. Just busy. So this soldier didn't lose this man on purpose. Most of the time, it was just drifting away little by little. And from the character, we can drift away. If God has a gifting on your life and you don't guard yourself, you don't dig into the Word of God, you don't spend time in the Word of God. We heard Roland say, daily devotional, reading our Bibles. God has got a gift for each and every single one of us here this morning. But if you don't guard yourself, you will drift away from God. You will drift away from your gifting. I think there's a lot of people, much more people that needs to be on worship. Amen. I think, thank you, Penny. There's much more leaders that needs to come through. There's much more preachers that need to come through. But you only get there if you guard yourself, if you don't drift away. We've got to keep ourselves on church, in church every Sunday. I'm not putting a big one. If we do take breaks and there's times for certain things. But we don't stay away from church. We go, I don't feel like it this morning. If you do that, you're not guarding yourself. That man, that woman that young person, if you do that, you're just starting to drift away. I remember when I was a young Christian, there was times where I allowed myself to drift away because I weren't guarding myself. I made excuses not to be at church. And I see a lot of heads nodding here. So there's some of you that know what I'm talking about. But we've got to keep ourselves in church. We've got to keep ourselves paying our tithes. We've got to keep ourselves in obedience of the word. We've got to keep ourselves reading the word of God, because that is how we guard ourselves. Your biggest priority. Okay, let's turn this around. I loved what you guys did here this morning. You love your wife. Your wife loves you. But I'm telling you this morning, and my biggest priority is not Angelique. My biggest priority is not my children. I love them. I will take a bullet for them. I will die for them. Yesterday we got home and the dogs were out on the other side. And we said, hey, what's going on here? And because I wanted to pull in, and I said, hey, there's something wrong here, because the dogs got around, but there's gates. How can they? But I know the alarm went off because the security company called us. And I pulled the bucket out again. I said, no, wait, here's the keys. Lock it. I know she can drive the buggy if she wants to. I said, here's the keys. I'm going to go in, because I'm willing to go in and take a bullet for them, because I've got to protect my family. And I went in, and luckily nothing was wrong, but the gates were open. I don't know how the dogs came around. Maybe the security guard was there. But I even thought that as I'm going out, I was like, there's a possibility that something can happen here. So I do guard them. I do protect them, but they are not my most important responsibility. I've got to keep this man. There is no ways that I'm going to gain Angelique if I get involved in pornography. There's no ways I'm going to gain Angelique if I allow myself to be an angry person. There's no ways I'm going to gain Angelique if I just do what I want to do, because I feel like it. I've got to guard myself. There's no ways I'm going to keep my children. If I am a person that screams and shouts the whole time and be angry at my children and just slap them around, there's no ways I'm going to gain them. So I've got to continuously got to guard myself. And I, interesting enough, talking about devotions, I've got... There's a couple of devotions that I'm working through. And one of them is a marriage devotional. Every day there's a marriage devotional that I get on email. And the one from yesterday that came through was 10 things. And I want to read it to you this morning just quickly. 10 things a wife... This was a lady that went through a divorce. But there's 10 things she wished her husband knew that she didn't know how to tell him. And so before I get into that, I know there's a lot of things that children also want their parents to know, but they don't know how to tell them. There's a lot of things that men also want their wives to know. And maybe they're just not too clever to tell them, But as men, we as leaders of the house, we should know how to tell our wives. But this, and this is what it is. Listen to it. A wife needs a husband to acknowledge her worth. And there's scripture with everything here. A wife needs a husband, her husband's love, to mirror Jesus' love. Because Jesus says, love your wife as I love the church. As Jesus loves the church. A wife needs unconditional love. A wife needs a humble husband. A wife needs a marriage marked by repentance and forgiveness. Yes, man, I remember when I wasn't saved, I would keep things against Angelique for years. And same, vice versa. There was no forgiveness. We just kept things. We crapped everything under the carpet. There was no forgiveness. There was no, until it got to a space where our marriage almost got destroyed, and God just pulled me in at the right time. A wife needs a marriage marked by repentance and forgiveness. You're going to call it quickly. A wife needs a husband committed to their wedding vows. A wife needs a husband who is full of wisdom. I did a sermon on that once. How do you get full of wisdom? By spending time in the Word of God. It's the only way that you get full of wisdom. A wife needs a husband who longs to follow all of God's commandments. I see a lot of elbows this morning. A wife needs a husband she can trust. That's a big one. A wife needs a husband dedicated to prayer. Now, guys, men, a woman, and young adults, young boys and girls here this morning, there's things that people in your life need. And if you don't guard yourself, spend time in the Word of God in December. I want to urge you, every day, start your day with God. Get a devotional. Because that way, you will guard yourself. Otherwise, I can't influence Angelique. I can't influence my children. And man, it's been a tough year. But if I didn't do that, it would have been maybe the worst year. We've got to guard ourselves. I will lose Angelique if I don't guard myself. I will lose my children. Before I got saved, I almost lost Angelique. And I'm grateful that I'm here today. And I know the importance of guarding yourself. So I want to encourage each and every single one of you. What about watching wrong TV shows? What about listening to just terrible music? I rapped once. I won't do it again. I tried to rap once. Nothing against rap. You get good rap music, but I can't specifically rap. I can maybe beatbox a little bit. You want to hear some of that? No. All right. We'll skip that. Keep yourself from bad things on the internet. Keep yourself from wrong TV shows. Keep yourself from being influenced by wrong people. You've got to influence them because of Jesus in you. Not the other way around. I've seen that happening many times. Because we're not guarding ourselves. It's got to be the other way around. Don't hedge this man. You guard him in the enemy will cause this man to escape. And you will lose yourself. So we get so busy and this man is gone. Who is the man? And the world. The world is the battlefield. The battlefield is the flesh, the devil, and all the bad things that is happening around us. The flesh, the world, and the devil. And there's all this noise and this chaos and there's things going on around us. But one day the king is going to return, and when he comes back, he's going to ask you one question. Did you keep this man? Did you keep this woman? Every man is drawn away when he is tempted by his own lust. If you can put up the scripture, Acts 4, verses 20. Peter summed it up nicely. He said, save yourself from this wicked and perverse generation. Save yourself. You've got a responsibility to guard yourself. And I want to say to you that there's never been a better time than now to live immoral. I remember Andrew saying that years ago, the things that he did was wrong and he could get locked up for it now. Now it's legal and he's being persecuted for being a good person. Christians are being persecuted for not doing certain things. It's crazy. We're living in a battlefield. The lust of the flesh and the eyes and all of this. And also you can attach all kinds of things to you now. There's so many things, cell phones and iPads, iPhones, and there's technology that comes out every single day that people just want to get attached to, and they just want to attach all these things of the world to them. If you don't use it to advance the gospel, then use it very little. I hear no amens there. There's a lot of attachments here this morning. Got to keep this man from addiction, from perversion. Keep him from doing things that he shouldn't do. And we've got to hedge ourselves in with the Word of God. I'm sick and tired of just people saying, "Man, I want to live like I want to live. I want to do what I want to do." You know that song of who sang it, Bon Jovi? "It's my life, and I'll live forever." What's it? "It's my life, now or never." And people want to live their life. And Jesus is saying, no. You've got to hedge yourself in. You've got to protect yourself. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 27, Paul says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." I discipline my body and bring it in. We've got to discipline our bodies over December and bring it into subjection. We've got to discipline ourselves going into the next year. Amen? All right. I can't let this flesh do what it wants to do. So I have to keep this man. Because the trumpet one day is going to blow and the king is going to come back. And he's going to ask you, "Did you keep this woman? Ruan, did you keep this man? Andrew, did you keep this man? Timothy, did you keep this man?" And I can go around and call everybody's name, but the king is going to come back. And we have to guard ourselves. And you know what's interesting? Most of the men in the Bible that were lost were not lost in the battle. They were not lost in the battle. David was brilliant in battles. Samson was amazing in battles. The Bible even says that at times, the Spirit of God came upon him. Say at times. At times. And then he would take a jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 Philistines. And he'll say at times, the Spirit of God came on him. And he will rip open a lion's mouth with his bare hands. I mean, that's insane. That's crazy. But what about the in-between times? It's easy to come here on a Sunday morning and worship, and the Spirit of God is on us, and we like get goosebumps, and it's just power, and God speaks to us, and a word comes. It's easy when the Spirit of God is on us. But I'm asking you, what about the in-between times? What about the times that we're not in a service, that we're not together like this, not together on a Wednesday night, and we're singing praises and we're doing powerful things for God and we're bringing words to people, encouraging them? Those are the time that we have to use a big word, discipline. Say discipline. Discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. I have to keep this man from anger. I have to keep his tongue. I have to keep his heart. I have to keep his mind. I have to keep his eyes, his ears. And I've got to bring him into subjection and hedge him in. And I've got to tell him there is limits. There are things that I just won't let you do. And so there's times where God will move mightily, especially in Joshua's generation. Say amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Joshua's generation. Especially in Joshua. I mean, when we hear on a Sunday morning, when we at the gathering, God moves powerfully. But in that in-between times, and this is what I want to tell you. When you get up in the morning and you go to work, or you're in your area of influence, and you're working and you're paying the bills and you're doing whatever you need to do, you're busy with things around you. If you guard yourself in those times, then in the times that we get together like this, God will move powerfully. When you use your gifting, your ability, God will move powerfully because he watches what we do in the in-between times. And December is a big in-between time. 3 weeks for some people, 4 weeks for some, and none for the others. But December is a big time. And so we need to stay in the Word. Keep on praying every day. Invite people to the Christmas service. That's going to be, I think it's going to be amazing. We prayed for it this morning as well. And so we've got to guard ourselves. And ladies, you know, a car battery has got a positive and a negative, right? I'm not speaking to the men because I don't know what we're talking about. But a car's got a positive and a negative. The only positive that we've got in this life is the gospel. But we can't just be hooked up to the positive. Because if you don't hook it up to the negative, there's going to be no power to start the engine, to get power going. And so we need the positive, the gospel, and then we need the negative, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. You see what I'm saying? And then you will have power in your life. We stay connected to the gospel and we guard ourselves from the things that the world think is okay. There was nothing wrong with that. Don't commit adultery. This, for the world, what's that? There's nothing wrong with it. But we've got to guard ourselves. All right, I see a couple of sober people. I'm just like, are you guys okay? Are you getting what I'm sharing this morning? All right. So the reason why the king said hedge him in is because I said you can't trust yourself. When we come together at church, we're really good. You look good. Dressed up for church, and I think I look okay. I'm maybe not dressed like a preacher. My shirt is tucked out, but that's okay. Roland, is that all right? So I look okay, yeah. But in the in-between times, I've got to stay focused. I've got to guard myself. When I see... And this is a big thing. When I see a lady that's beautiful, the way that I guard myself, God, it's your daughter. You created her, and I respect her, and I don't entertain that thing anymore. That's how, because when I used to be involved in pornography, and that's how I guarded myself. Immediately, that's how I did it. So what are the hedges that you're putting up? What are the things that you're struggling with to guard yourself up? What are those edges that you're putting up? And to this day, it's working like a bomb. And now it's not even a thing anymore. I just do it straight away. It's habit. And if it gets really tough, I worship. I sing and and I pray. It's just like that. But we've got to guard ourselves. All right. So I want to, I don't know, is there somebody that wants to come up and play on the guitar or the keyboard? Just as I'm finishing off here. There's this story, not a story, it's true. A couple of years ago, there's this preacher. He took 7 young married men on a missionary trip. And they had a great missionary trip. And so they're on their way to go back home. And these 7 young men were ready to see their wives. I mean, they were ready to see their wives. You guys know what I'm talking about. They were ready to go home and go and see their wives. He says, and this preacher's sitting behind them in the plane, on the runway. They're busy. Everybody's getting busy in the plane. And there comes up a lady, and this is his words. He says, the lady comes up into the plane. She's drop dead gorgeous. She's wearing a biblical dress, lo and behold. And these 7 young men, married men, suddenly just forgot about their Bibles, forgot about their missionary trip, and they just started drifting away. And this preacher saw this and he said, and I love it. He said, good job, Jesus. Good job, Jesus, loud in the plane. And he said, suddenly, those young men were just like they came right back in, right back in. I love it. Good job, Jesus. When they heard the name of Jesus, they just came right back in. And so in this December, keep yourself busy with Jesus every day. When you get up in the mornings, Jesus, I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for my friends. I want to pray for the church. And the Holy Spirit will lay people in your heart that you can pray for. I want to pray for that person during this difficult time. Maybe even WhatsApp, you got a contact with them. How are you guys doing? Do you want to come over? It's weird this morning. There's a lot of people spending time alone over December. But every morning, keep yourself busy with Jesus so that you can guard yourself every single day. John said that you have to keep yourself from idols. Who knows what an idol is? Anything that you put before God. When you open your eyes, start with Jesus. Don't put anything before Him. Don't let any idol come before Jesus. And so this is my encouragement to you. We're closing off, going into the end of the year. If you guard yourself now and you strengthen your relationship with the King, you will start next year off very strong. And what you do in the in-between times, God's going to move powerfully. If those in-between times are good with Him, He's going to move powerfully. And so this broken people in our community, maybe you're this morning and God has stirred something in your heart. I want to pray for all of us here this morning. So let's close our eyes. Father, I thank